First Samuel chapter 16. I'm going to begin with verse number 1. And then we'll pray. Everybody there that's getting there? Not yet, huh? Okay. First Samuel chapter 16, we're going to begin with verse 1 and go through verse 5. Now the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I'm sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons." And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me." But the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. You shall anoint for me the one I named to you." So Samuel did what the Lord said, went to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, "Do you come peaceably?" And he said, "Peaceably. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. Let's pray. Father, this is a good day. Thank you for this opportunity. Opportunity to not only gather together, but to hear your voice, to hear your word, to have truth declared. Lord, this is a good day. Visit us. I ask that every heart be softened. Lord, I ask that you plant these thoughts in us and we bind the enemy from robbing them. Holy Spirit, just anoint these words and use me as a vessel to pour out. Don't let us leave like we came, Lord. It changes. We give you praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. The older I get, the easier I can weep. Will it be okay if I get a little excited today? Okay. All right. Because I'm liable to. Throughout the course of our life, we all go through times where we feel inadequate, underqualified to do what God has called us to do. I know that's certainly true in my life, and I'm sure it's true in many other lives. But I want to reassure you this morning that each one of us has something significant residing within us. Something significant. Each one of us has a potential that we haven't reached yet. And each one of us possesses a nature that has explosive power. Did you get that? Each one of us has a nature that has explosive power. Amen. Many of you, probably most of you, will remember the first king of Israel, King Saul. And Saul began his reign as a king, following God. He was a servant of God. And he eventually turned away from God and refused to obey the Lord's commandments. So the Lord rejected him. The Lord simply rejected him and took away his anointing as king of Israel. So God instructed Samuel the prophet to go to Bethlehem and seek out Jesse and his sons. And he said God had selected one of Jesse's sons to become the next king of Israel. When Samuel arrived in Bethlehem, he called for Jesse to bring his sons to a public sacrifice for the Lord. At the time of the sacrifice, the Lord would reveal to the prophet Samuel exactly which one of Jesse's sons would become the new king. So Jesse brings seven of his sons to the sacrifice. However, he leaves the youngest son tending the sheep. He's tending the sheep. Jesse had determined that David was so young and undeveloped that he did not consider bringing him before the prophet. No sense in bringing David before the prophet, simply because in Jesse's mind, David was not a proper candidate to become the next king of Israel. Now listen, folks, because David was a kid at heart, he still had the heart of a king within him. Amen? He still had the heart of a king. And this morning, I want us to consider the thought, there is a king inside each one of us. A king inside each one of us. You can say amen, or I don't know what you're talking about, but say something. When Jesse's sons were lined up before him, Samuel called the eldest son out. Eliab stepped forward, and the Bible says that Samuel took one look at him and thought, surely this is the Lord's anointed. Surely the Lord's anointed was before him. Eliab was tall, and he was handsome, and he looked like a natural leader. But God told Samuel that he had not anointed Eliab to be the king. One by one, Samuel called each of the sons of Jesse forward, and each time Samuel had to declare, "The Lord has not chosen thee." Eventually, Samuel turned to Jesse and asked, "Are all the young men here?" Jesse's response, "There remains yet the youngest, and there he is, keeping the sheep." So Samuel announced, "Send and bring him. Send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here. We're not going to eat. We're not going to rest. We're not going to do anything till I see that youngest son." Let's go to verse 12 in Samuel 16, verse 12. So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, with bright eyes, and good looking. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose and went to Ramah. His job was done. He went about doing his business, and David was anointed king. Amen? Now, we know the rest of the story. David became the greatest king in Israel's history. What sticks out to me about this story the most is a phrase found in verse 10, and I want to read this out of the New Living Translation. It says, "In the same way, all seven of Jesse's sons were presented to Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, 'The Lord has not chosen any of these.'" Lord has not chosen any of these. In other words, as the sons were presented to him, Samuel saw the potential in every one of them. He thought there was a king in every young man that was standing in front of him. Just as the Bible talks about Eliab, there was a king. Evidently, all eight of Jesse's sons were handsome young men, good-looking guys. And all eight of them made a profound impact on Samuel. So in Samuel's mind, all eight of them had a potential of becoming the next king of Israel, but only one was destined to become that king. Now, I may seem to be headed in a different direction than you are, but I want you to bear with me. We understand that God saw in David a heart that pleased him. David had a heart that pleased him. In fact, the Bible says he had a heart like God. That made him an appropriate candidate for king. But what I'd like to focus on today is the potential that was in all eight of Jesse's sons. The potential. Every one of them was at a turning point in their life. Every one of them anticipated a bright future. Every one of them had their entire life ahead of them. And every one of them had unlimited potential. I submit to you today that inside every one of Jesse's sons, there was a king and there was also a kid, a child. Samuel, however, anointed David to be the next king of Israel, even though he was the youngest, the smallest, and the least likely. Samuel had to look past the shepherd boy. He looked past the child, the kid. He looked past any inadequacy in the young David. Samuel knew that David was to be the next king of Israel. And of course, David was anointed as king, becoming the most renowned king of all. He was the greatest king Israel ever had. But it began when somebody recognized David's potential and believed in him. God opened Samuel's eyes and revealed to Samuel that David surely was the chosen one. He was the chosen one. But it was the words of Samuel that elevated David to a place of kingship in the land of Israel. We are not sure what happened to David's seven brothers. We only hear of them one more time during the story of Goliath. In that passage of Scripture, we know that the brothers were too afraid to face the giant. In fact, it was David who faced off with Goliath when his brothers wouldn't do so, when the armies of Israel wouldn't do so. And it was David who masterfully killed the giant, rescuing Israel from the Philistines. But I wonder about the possibility of something greater in the lives of David's brothers if Samuel had spoken differently over them. I wonder why David's brothers didn't face off to Goliath. And I wonder how painful it must have been for each of those seven boys to stand in front of all the elders and all the people in Bethlehem and one by one be called out and rejected by the man of God. Called out and rejected. I can't help but think how deflated they must have felt. Perhaps even embarrassment. And then to top it off, it was their kid brother chosen to be the king. I'm not implying that Samuel was in error in any way. He was simply obeying God. There could only be one king, and I believe all the boys knew that. But at the heart of my message today is the power that's in the spoken word. The power. Samuel spoke some powerful words of encouragement into the heart of the unlikeliest candidate leading to David's ultimate reign as king. What would have happened with David if Samuel hadn't spoken those words? Would he have ever left the pasture? Would he have ever conquered the giant? Would he have ever become the king? Probably not. What about the brothers, Eliab and Abinadab and Shemuel? What about Nathanael and Ozim and Radai? We don't know the name of the seventh brother. There's another passage that talks about Elihu, but the theologians think that's just another translation of Eliab, the oldest brother. So we don't know the name of the seventh brother. But what if Samuel had spoken words of encouragement to him, to them? What if he would have said good things to him, to each one of them? What could that have accomplished? David had an incredible impact on millions of people because someone believed in him. And I believe that David became the person he was because it was God's words of encouragement that were spoken through the prophet Samuel. Amen. Now, I want each of you to receive this message today. I want you to receive it. Inside of you is both a king and a kid. Inside of each one of you is a king and a kid. The one that will come alive is the one that is spoken to. The one that will come alive is the one that is encouraged. The world will attempt to keep you a kid. But God desires that you step into your place of royalty and become a king. Whether you realize it or not, there is an amazing strength and power lying dormant within you. Inside these four walls lays the potential to accomplish great, incredible exploits, the likes of which had never been experienced before. We are no different than the sons of Jesse. We are no different than the disciples, the 12 disciples. We are no different than those within the pages of this book. From the beginning, man has wrestled with the idea of being a mighty king or a lowly shepherd boy, because within each one of us resides a king and a kid. Within each one of us resides faith and doubt. Within each one of us resides victory and defeat. This morning, can I talk to the king inside of you? The Bible even declares that you are of royal blood and you are a royal priesthood. You've been called out as kings and priests. And you have been chosen by the highest of all possible authorities in heaven and in earth to assume your rightful position. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 6, it says this, "And has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Kings and priests. In 1 Peter 2, 9, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." You're special, folks. You're special. Amen. Have you ever heard the scripture that many are called, but few are chosen? God is called and has a calling on your life. He does. He has specifically picked you. Specifically. The Almighty knows the potential of your life. He knows it. And right now, He's speaking your name. You are a chosen generation. You are a chosen generation. You are people of royal blood. Amen? God says, I choose you today. I choose you today. He said, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. I offer you the keys to the kingdom. That's what God declares to you. I want to give the Lord a shout. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God wants us to receive all that He has for us. It's been His plan from the beginning. When we read the scriptures, we realize how much God loves us and supports us and gives us encouragement in our walk with Him. God wants everybody in His kingdom to succeed, and we can be confident that He will always have our back. He will always have our back, folks. Brothers and sisters, God is for us. God is for us, but it is another thing to receive encouragement from man, and you and I need both. We need both. David was called and chosen by God, but he received much encouragement from two men, specifically Samuel and Jonathan. Samuel, the prophet, blessed David, anointed him, and set him on the road to kingship. Then Jonathan, David's friend, encouraged him, believed in him, even when David didn't believe in himself. Jonathan was a friend like no other. Like no other. He was the son of King Saul. He was the heir to the throne. He was a national hero in battle. The people loved him. And there was a king in Jonathan as well. He was the rightful heir to the throne. Jonathan was unaware of David until David made himself known by defeating Goliath. Now ponder this for a minute. When Goliath came on the scene to fight for the Philistines, there was no one willing to challenge him. It didn't appear that anyone was willing to put their life on the line to defend Israel or their God. Who were the bravest men in the kingdom at that time? King Saul and his son Jonathan. Who were the people looking to as the defenders of the nation? King Saul and his son Jonathan. Perhaps Jonathan would have taken charge, but maybe King Saul wouldn't permit it. It was time for God to raise up another. It would be David who would go on the offensive and defeat Goliath the giant. Jonathan may have been the people's first choice, but now there was a new hero in town. A new hero in town. Bonnie and I love to watch the Westerns, the old Westerns. They always have a hero. David became the new hero. Knowing human nature as we do, one might have thought that Jonathan would have belittled or discounted David's victory. Certainly there could have been jealousy. Certainly. But rather than having negative thoughts or evil intents against David, Jonathan chose to be David's friend. And from that point forward, it was Jonathan who spoke into David's life. It was Jonathan who encouraged David. It was Jonathan who strengthened David through his word. Even when Saul came to take David's life, the Bible states in 1 Samuel 23, verse 15 and 16, it says, "So David saw that Saul had come out to seek his life. And David was in the wilderness of Ziph in the forest. Then Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the woods and strengthened his hand in God." Jonathan was aware of David's potential. He sensed the power of a king in David. And he kept speaking those words of encouragement to the heart of a king. David may have never become king if it had not been for Jonathan. What about the Apostle Paul? Possibly the greatest missionary in the history. But did you know that it was only because of Barnabas that Paul was ever accepted as disciple? The disciples could only remember Saul or Paul for who he had been. They could never forget what Saul had been responsible for, the persecution and death of many of the Lord's followers, and listen, including their own friends. They were not about to accept him as a disciple with his background. It didn't matter to the disciples that Saul had experienced a life-changing moment on the road to Damascus. That didn't matter. It didn't matter that he had lost his sight and then through a miracle he was able to see again. All they could remember was his past. And that's all they could see when they considered this man. That's all they could see. But Barnabas saw some amazing potential in Paul. Calling the apostles together, he shared with them what he felt Paul could do for the kingdom. In Acts chapter 9, verse 26 and 27, it says, "And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples. But they were all afraid of him." All afraid of him. Did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he, Jesus, had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. The recommendation of Barnabas was so compelling that the disciples of the Lord had no choice but to accept Paul as one of their own. As ministers of the gospel, as brothers and sisters in the Lord, and as friends, we need to understand the power of the spoken word. The words that you speak about your brother or sister could well affect the calling that the Lord has placed on their life. The impact that I will have as a pastor in this community will be in direct proportion to the ability I have to speak encouragement into the lives of the people God has placed in this church. Amen. The impact you will have in your life will be in direct proportion to your ability to speak encouragement into the people that surround you. Inside all of us is a king and a kid. Inside of your children is a king and a kid, or a queen and a child. Inside your friends, there is a king and a kid. The one that comes alive is the one that you speak to, the one that you encourage, the one that grows is the one you promote with your words and your actions. I want to speak to the king in your life today. I want to speak to the king in your life today. Brothers and sisters, you have the strength, the power, the enthusiasm, the ability, the position, the potential to change your world. Did you get that? You have that ability. You have what it takes. You have what it takes. You can teach a Bible study. You can win your classmates or your co-workers for Jesus. You can lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. Amen. You can release the oppressed from their bondage. Amen. You can offer love and mercy and grace through your Savior. Hallelujah. You can share the peace of God that passes all understanding. We sang about it this morning. That isn't to be contained, that's to be spread. Hallelujah. Saints, you are chosen and anointed to bring the kingdom of heaven to the earth. Hallelujah. There is a king in you. There is potential in you. God intends to do miraculous works in you because he's anointed you. He's anointed you. And if you believe it and receive it, then come on, clap your hands with me. Come on. Hallelujah. Give God glory. Wives, let me talk to you. There is a king and a kid in your husband. Will you speak to that king in him? Will you declare the king to come alive? Tell your husband that he has what it takes. He's a winner. He's more than a conqueror. A king resides in him. Hallelujah. And husbands, what about your wives? They need to receive those same affirmations from you. The very same. So that they will assert their rightful place as heirs of the kingdom. Here at Turning Point Church, let us profess and pronounce to one another what God is speaking to us. Let us encourage one another to reach our potential in God. Amen? We can rule and reign on earth as kings and queens as we advance the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. God intends to do mighty and miraculous exploits, and he wants to use each one of us. He wants to. He desires to. He loves to use you. Amen. Say to yourself, I am the head and not the tail. I am above and not beneath. I'm more than a conqueror. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Are you getting this? Amen. David had a king in him, and so do you. Satan may challenge us with the Goliath. But the Goliaths don't stand a chance against the army of God. Amen. You and I can do great exploits for Jesus. Great. As we preach the word, as we share God's love, minister to the sick, intercede for the lost, reach out to the community. Great exploits. As we carry out God's plan, we will experience miracles. Listen to me. As we carry out God's plan, we will experience miracles, enjoy revival, be blessed with an outpouring of God's love and grace, and be refreshed by repeated infillings of the Holy Spirit. Wow. A king resides in each one of us. But we must practice reminding ourselves and each other of that fact. We need to give words of encouragement. We need to build each other up in faith. Have you got the point I'm trying to make? A king resides in you. A king resides in you. And who is that king? Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen? When we take on our position of king, we are aligning ourselves with the heavenly king. Now listen to me, who has all preeminence over all things at all times and all places. Hallelujah. I want to say that again. When we take on our position of king, we are aligning ourselves with the heavenly king who has preeminence over all things at all times and in all places. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, just what is preeminence? Get ready to jump up and down. It is dominance. It is distinction. It is esteem. It is honor. It is notability. It is power. It is renown. It is rule. It is sovereignty. It is supremacy. Hallelujah. That's preeminence. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Our king, the one who put the king inside of you, our king surpasses all others in his authority. And he has given that authority to you and to me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Are you getting this? I'm more excited than you are. Let's take the position of authority that he's given us, folks, against the works of the enemy in this evil age, and let the king that's inside of you rule and reign. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Woo. Woo. Got a king within you. I have seen so many people walk around like this. I don't think I've ever seen a king, read a story in a book, anything else about a king holding his head down in discouragement and defeat. A king within you. The world wants to knock your socks off, wants to defeat you, wants you to accept on whatever comes along. Just let me accept it. You don't have to accept it. You're a king. You're a queen. God has given you power and authority to break the back of that enemy every time he shows his head. I don't care what it is. You can stand through that mess no matter what it is. He's given you faith to do it. Hallelujah. God is good. And all that goodness he pours out on you and me. And so often we set, oh, if something would just come my way. Oh, I just need a break. You got the break. Amen. Praise God. Can we pray? In fact, Al.